Now, having said that, let's talk about new beginnings a little bit. I'm going to be speaking today out of 2 Chronicles, if you have your Bible with you. If you don't have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to bring your Bible and follow along, and I'll tell you why I want you to do that. It's because if you don't have your Bible, I can stand up here and tell you anything, and you might believe it. But I preach out of the Bible, and I want you to be able to follow along with me and prove to yourself that what I'm telling you is legitimate. Now, we're going to talk about this morning Uzziah, king of Judah. And you might say, Brother David, what in the world does that have to do with new beginnings? Well, I want to tell you that it has a lot to do with it, because it gives us a little bit of history. And this particular chapter 26, I'm not going to read it all, but you can read it if you want to when you get home, or you may already have read it. But I'm going to read part of it, and I'm going to try to make some sense out of it, because there's two major points in here as a new beginning, as a church, and as a pastor with a new congregation that I want us to think about this morning. It says in the first verse, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah. Now, I want to tell you, Uzziah was the son of Azariah back in the days of the rise. And as they were kings of Judah, you'd have some of them that followed God, and you'd have others that didn't, that built false temples and all that. And then somebody else would come along, and they'd be good with God, and then somebody would be bad. So you had that going on backwards and forth. Now, Uzziah, it was 16 years old, and they made him king in place of his father Amaziah, and he was one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his ancestors, in other words, after he died. Now, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. He was the king of Judah. His mother's name was Jecoliah, and she was from Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I want you to think about that line. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. Amaziah was right with God, but he wasn't wholeheartedly. If you go back and read about Amaziah, you'll find that he was halfway right with the Lord, we would say. And he sought, this is Uzziah, he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. And in this next line, I want you to pay special attention to it, because it has everything to do with my message. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. There's a real message in that for us this morning, my friends, as beginning all over again. Now, all of us, well, most of us told me before I started, when I was with the district superintendent in your PPR committee, that one of the things you'd like to see is for this church to grow. And we need to grow the kingdom within this church. And I would like to see us, of course, we'll talk about this down the road, I'd like to see us get 5 new families into this church this year. Between now and next July, 5 new families. And that shouldn't be real hard to do. I think we can do that. But I will tell you, the Bible tells us how to be successful at that. And that is in that line, as long as we seek the Lord, then God will give us success. You know the old saying that's in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We even sing about that. And all these things will be added unto you. So it is important as a congregation and as a pastor that before we do anything else, that we seek the Lord first. And that means every one of us in here, the children, young folks, all the way up to our senior citizens, we all need to be on the same page, seeking the Lord first. Now, you can even carry that over into your personal life at home. If you had a birthday recently, you have an opportunity for a new beginning. You have an opportunity for a new beginning by seeking the Lord in your personal life. You may have a job and you got a new promotion, and it's a new beginning for you. And I will tell you, you'll be successful at that if you let the Lord lead you first. That's the key about that. You may have a family at home that maybe you don't eat a meal together and maybe you don't pray together. An opportunity for a new beginning to begin doing it. You may not read your Bible at home on a daily basis and have a personal devotion. It's an opportunity for a new beginning. So you have those things personally as well as we do as a church to grow a new beginning in growing His kingdom within Christian Heights United Methodist Church. We can do that, but only if we seek God first, and He'll make us successful. And then I'm going to skip a little bit over to verse 16, and here comes the bad part of all that, if there is a bad part. It says, but after Uzziah became powerful, you see, he had lots of animals, and he dug lots of wells, and he had armies unbelievable, and he built towers, and he did all kinds of stuff as he was seeking the Lord. But after he became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. His pride led to his downfall. Pride is one of the worst things there is in the kingdom of God, because whenever we get full of pride, then we begin to go down. And I caution you on that, how important it is that we don't do that. Now, I'm not a political preacher. I don't think the pulpit ought to be used for politics and that, because there's so many people that carry different things. But I'm going to say this one thing, one time only, and I'm saying this in defense of the kingdom of God. Not in defense of God. God don't need me to defend Him. But we need to defend His kingdom. And I want to tell you, we have chaos going on in this nation. Now, you listen to me close before you decide that I'm political, because I'm not. You'll get it here in a minute. You see, God is the ruler of all. God is the reason this nation was formed. That's a fact. And God rules. And what we have now is a government who thinks that it rules. And it, within that government, there's three branches, you know, executive, the judicial, and the legislative branch. And all three of them think they rule. And within all of that, you've got the Democrats that they think they rule, or they need to rule. You got the Republicans thinking they rule or need to rule. You got the conservatives thinking that they should rule. You got the liberals thinking that they should rule. You got the socialists thinking that they should rule. So you got all these people that think they need to rule, but the problem is they have forgotten one thing, and that is that God rules. Amen. He rules. And so all these entities within the government, what they need to do is they need to bow at the feet of Jesus and take their crown off and lay it at His feet and recognize that he rules. And until this nation is willing to do that, it's going to be nothing but chaos. So keep that in mind, if you will. That's my political statement, if you want to call it that, for the year. But I stand by it, and I believe it with all my heart. We need to get back to the rulership of God Almighty. If you turn over to, and this has happened to us, and this has happened to us individually sometimes. And I bring this up because you need to hear this. Go to Hosea in your Bible, still in the Old Testament. I usually preach out of the New Testament, because the one thing that I care about, and you'll find out about me more than anything in the world, is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to heaven except through him. And if that's true, if you believe it, and I believe it, then a lot of times we waste a whole lot of time on a whole bunch of stuff that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. But today I'm in the Old Testament. Hosea 13, chapter 13, verse 6, and this is God speaking. And you listen to it carefully, and I hope I can brand it into your heart, this verse. It says, when I fed them, this is God talking, when I fed them, they were satisfied. You can read about it all through the Bible. God has fed people and they were satisfied. We ask him every time we say this Lord's Prayer, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. But when they were satisfied, God says, they became proud. And then they forgot me. That's what's happened. We were satisfied as long as God was feeding us. Until we got so much that we didn't think we needed God anymore. We became proud. We either made a lot of money, got a lot of power, got nice homes and boats and cars and jobs and all of the things that we have, freezers and refrigerators full of food, and we're riding high. And we've become proud as a people. And when we got proud, see, we forgot God. I'll give you one situation in my life. Among many. My wife and I were struggling big time. This is a lot of years ago. And I prayed for God to give me a better way to make a living. And I was teaching Sunday school and doing all the things a young man should do, the Lord. And he gave me a job making more money than I can ever imagine making. Moved to North Carolina. I became a big-time executive in the largest furniture company in the world. And I was topping cotton. And I made so much money, I thought, well, I don't need God as much now, because now I can make it on my own. And God took it away from me. He took all of it and more away from me. He brought me to my knees and had me to read this Bible from cover to cover for 7 years in a row, and then called me to be a pastor. I guess that's the way God works, huh? But I became proud when I had it all and I forgot him. I beg you today, don't let that happen to you. Because you and I are nothing without God. We're nothing. Now I want you to think about, what time we got, Greg? may get you out before 12 today. But we, as a church, if we'll not get too full as to get proud and then really forget what we're here for and keep God on our side, this church can be anything it wants to be. Do you know that? You believe that? It can be anything it wants to be. We just got to have God on our side. We have to get saved. And I'm hoping most of you in here are saved. Maybe some of the young people not, I don't know. Maybe some adults that are not. I've seen some people get saved in their 80s who thought that they had it all and then realized that they didn't. But you have to be saved. And you have to have a passion for Jesus. I mean a passion. For that everything we do as a church, as his people within the kingdom, within this building, has to be a passionate relationship with Jesus. And then we have to get intimate with the Holy Spirit. All of us that are saved have the Holy Spirit in us, and most of us, a lot of us, some of us, one of us, whatever number might be, don't even know we have it. The Holy Spirit to help us, to get us through. And all the Holy Spirit is Jesus living inside you and me to be our helper, just waiting on us, just living in there waiting for us to call on him. And I hope we'll do that as a church. I hope we'll band together with our hearts and our prayers, and that we'll do what you and I both know is the right thing to do in seeking the Lord. And I don't want to burn you out on this, but if we'll do that, what did it say? As long as we seek the Lord, God will be a success. It's not, we get off in our board meetings, and I've been to so many, can't recall hardly any of them. And we make lists this long of what we're going to do, and we go off, a few will go off this way, and a few will go off that way, and we do all that. I come to you today with one thing on my list, and that is to seek ye first the kingdom of God. All this other stuff will come. That's pretty simple. That's a lot easier than let's have 9 potlucks, 3 meetings at the outside, all the things we plan for. And all of those are good. I'm not putting us down for that. We need to have those. They help bring people into the church if we're letting God lead us into that. So I'm going to leave it at that this morning, if that's okay. And I'm going to thank you for opening your minds and your hearts, your eyes and your ears, and giving me a chance to be your shepherd, that I can feed the sheep, tend the sheep, love the sheep, and that we can go together in the same direction of bringing others into the kingdom. There's nothing more that we can do. Greg, if you want to make your way up to lead the singing, you can come on. The ones of you like to get out here after before 12 are really going to be happy with me this morning. And so maybe I did that on purpose, because I don't need to start off making anybody upset. But again, I want to remind you, if you have anybody that I need to be calling, eventually when this thing gets over with, I can visit into the homes and stuff. Now I want to say one other thing before Greg leads us this. I'm going to say this into the camera, if you'll allow me to do it, because I'm speaking for us here at Christian Heights United Methodist Church. And the message I'm going to send to these people, sometimes when we do this live, we have 300 people watching it. And God doesn't let people watch it without there being some good coming out of it. And there's somebody out there right now that God has led to stumble across this and watch it because they have an empty hole in their heart. They have an emptiness that they've not been able to fill. They've tried everything, drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, you name it, they've tried it all, and they have that loneliness. And I want to speak to that person that's out there today and say, if you will just come forward today, right there in your home, or you may be out here and need to do that, and come up here and bow down. And just tell Jesus very simply that you're a sinner, that you've tried everything and nothing works, and you're tired of being that way and you want to change, and that you're going to give Jesus an opportunity to come into your heart. He'll do that, just like that. And there'll be a change in you, one that you won't recognize right at first, but there'll be a change, and then it won't be hunky-dory all of a sudden. But you'll gradually see that you change in what you say, what you think, and what you do, because now you have God who loves you on your side. And if you'll say that to him and mean it, and I always like to say this, you're dealing with Jesus so he knows if you mean it or not. But if you really mean it, he'll make a change in you that'll last you the rest of your life. And then someday when you die, you'll be in paradise with the King, which is what we're all after, isn't it? The end of the game. We want to be with Jesus.
Amen.
So I ask you to consider that this morning, Greg.